What's up, guys? Just figured I would do this recording really quick. I just got home from the store. Just got a few things. I bought myself like some t-shirts and like a pair of joggers, you know, to, like, do something nice for myself. But I guess a quick check-in with what's going on with me. So tomorrow I'm going down to El Cajon. And I'm doing some training. Even though I'm already certified, in order for me to get naloxone, I have to do this training with this nonprofit organization. So I'm gonna, you know, get retrained and whatnot on signs of an overdose. You know, what to look for, and how to like go about properly like administering naloxone. You know, you know, CPR, like how many breaths to give a minute, you know, and whatnot. And so it's going to be just like a good refresher, you know. I still know what to look for, but I'm sure there's things that I forgot or maybe some new things that have come out, you know. So I'm staying humble, you know. I just going to practice some humility. I'm going to go do this because it's important, you know. It's not about having to do it again or that I know it. It's about, like, getting naloxone and getting it out to people on the streets that are using and getting it to, like, families and restaurant owners or you know, or gas stations or just whoever. I mean, because people are dying, like, every, 12 seconds, you know? Somebody's overdosing, you know? It's very important, you know? Overdose has affected my life. It's affected my family's life. You know, it's more so affected me, like watching my friend overdose, someone who I deeply care about, and there's nothing I can do about it. Like how powerless I felt in that moment. You know, and what was even worse is that I had gave him some drugs earlier that day and got him high, you know, and I felt responsible for him overdosing in that moment. Today, I know it's not my fault. You know, he chose to do that. But he's alive, and I'm grateful that he's alive. You know, I'm grateful, like, for a minute, like, I was scared to death to call the cops. Like, I was, for a quick minute, you know, and I did, and that probably sounds fucked up, but that's how I felt, you know. So, you know, he's alive, and like, looking back on that now, like, when I think about the 911 conversation, the guy that I was talking to, he, now that I'm educated on, you know, overdose and like what to do and the signs of it and how, you know, if you don't have Narcan, like what you can do, you know, until paramedics get there, the police, you know, he didn't guide me through any of that. And you know, granted, like I was hysterical. I did not know what to do. But he didn't really guide me through like any like compressions or like, you know, like to breathe in his mouth or to like, you know, to elevate him or you know, anything like that. You know, he just said, leave him be. And like, you know, he was just trying to keep me calm and I get it. Like I was frantic. He was probably freaking out too. And another thing that I'm looking at, it's like with fentanyl and like car fentanyl, like some of these people to get brought back, it's taking like 2 and 3 like hits of Narcan, you know, and so it's like a lot of me like I don't want to take a lot, you know, off these people's hands, but I also know there's like $19 million in a fund for Narcan out here. In California, that's how much has been allotted to this out here. And at the same time, like, I don't know the process of how they get it, what they pay, you know, I don't know any of that, but at the same time, you know, it's like, I why would I just give like one dose to somebody? Because like fentanyl and shit, like when I watched my buddy, it took, I think six hits of Narcan to like, to bring him back. I may be wrong. It may have been like 4 to 6. We'll say 4 to 6. I know it was that's a lot. That's a lot, you know. And like he was almost dead. His lips were blue. You know, and if you've ever experienced that, you know how like terrifying it is to experience the breathing, the wheezing. You know, they don't even know they're dying. You know, and you know, I'll never forget that. I'll never forget it. Like, it was different when I overdosed. It was totally different. Like, I know that like traumatized my family, but now that I've experienced the other side of it, like, in my opinion, that's one of the worst ways to die. You know, and I don't want anybody ever to have to experience that, but that's just not the way the world works, you know. Especially with fentanyl on the street now, like, and car fentanyl, you know, you don't even know what you're getting anymore. Like, and it's scary. I'm glad I'm clean and not using today. Like, you know, I would be more than likely dead. You know, most heroin addicts, once they start using, they have a 10-year lifespan after that. Most, that's not everyone, but that's the statistic for it. And it's probably going to be shortened, you know, the next time they do a census or whatever for that. You know, I'm really grateful to be clean and alive today. My life is crazy right now. Just moving, and you know, I'm done moved. I'm settled into the house. It's just like I'm growing up right now. Like, I've taken on a lot of responsibility. Like, you know, I'm in the lives of three kids now, and I don't know how to be a dad. You know, I just changed my first diaper like a week ago. And for some reason I get really bad diapers. I don't know if that's like the world's like the universe's like sense of humor or what it is, but I feel like I get the worst diapers. They are terrible. You know, and like, I never really wanted kids. And I mean, I love my girlfriend, you know, and like her kids, you know, looking back, like, I never would have guessed this, I would be in the situation I'm in now. It's a blessing, and a lot of things that I don't see as blessings are blessings in disguise, and I've not seen it yet, you know. But yeah, I'm just like living my dream out here, man, in California. I mean, it's so crazy to me that this is even happening. Like, and to be able to like say those words are like really powerful. It's like, I remember being little and watching like X Games on ESPN, and like they would show like Camp Woodward and all that out here. And like, I would watch Bucky Lassick and Tony Hawk, Andy McDonald, you know, Matt Hoffman, you know, all those old guys, in competitions and stuff like that. And, I remember like, I wanted to go to Camp Woodward, and that's on my like goals list. Like, I'm going to go. But I remember being a kid and asking my dad if I could go. And he said, I remember him telling me like, one day you'll get there. I'll make it happen, you know, if I can one day. And, you know, it kind of helped me get out here to California. You know, it didn't happen under the best circumstances that I came out here, but I got out here, I personally believe that everything happens for a reason. Like, especially with this happening now, I definitely wholeheartedly believe everything happens for a reason. You know, I'm living my dream right now, my childhood dream right now. Like, you know, this guy I grew up watching skate, you know, invited me to go skate with him. Like, how does this happen, man? Like, I mean, there's got to be something working in my life. Like, I never, ever, ever dreamed this. Like, I did dream it, but I never thought it could happen. You know, and like life is like crazy right now, but it's like, it's good. Like, I'm taking care of business. Like, I'm in solutions, you know. I don't really stay in the problem too long, you know. I mean, right now, you know, I'm just like trying to, you know, I'm waiting to like go through the motions of like getting a job up here where I'm staying at, you know, and it feels good doing the right thing, like finishing out what I started. It makes me feel good about myself and like feel responsible. You know, like, things are only getting better. Like, you know, I've been trying to do this naloxone thing now for like months, and just been like going, like doing like so many emails to so many different people and then like losing contact and then having to go back to where I started and then finally like just getting in touch with like people, you know, that like, you know, they answer the phone, they respond to emails, like they took me and guided me in the direction and it's only like, it's only going further. Like, you know, I'm gonna talk to this guy at the California Department of Health about doing like a syringe exchange, like a mobile syringe exchange. And doing that, like giving out, like found this place, I'm gonna give out meal kits and stuff like that, to the homeless out on the streets, and like, you know, some like sterile water, you know, like alcohol pads, like things like that. You know, I mean, so they get a meal to get naloxone and they get some stuff, you know, to try to like stay as healthy as they can and like, you know, try to stop the spread of disease. You know, and I am by no way enabling anybody to use drugs. I'm only trying to help people like stay alive and like give them a, like let them know like somebody cares about you even though you're using drugs. You know, like it's like I love you and I'm here for you when you need help. Like, you know, somebody out here in this world like cares about you even though you don't even love yourself. Like a complete stranger like cares about you, and like if you need help, like I'm here when you're ready. You know, I'm not, you know, because I can't save them from their bottom, and I know that. I'm just, you know, I'm giving them a hope shot, man. I'm giving them a hope shot. You know, some random person cares about you, you know, and I'm here when you need me, you know, and I needed that because I'm a reason, man. I felt so alone in the world. I felt so alone. I felt like nobody knew what I was going through, you know. And then when I came into the rooms, man, that completely changed. Like, you know, I heard my story told over and over and over and over. And I constantly hear things that I relate to, man. Like, it's a really beautiful thing to feel a part of, you know, because the opposite of addiction is isolation and separation. You know, that's what it is. That's a part of it, you know. You know, I could go into that forever, you know, about the disease and whatnot and how it affects me. You know, but I'm really excited about doing this. Like, it's amazing to see, like, my work and just, like, relentless like emails that I've sent out trying to do this and like just start. Like, I never thought I could do this, and now like I'm getting results from my actions. You know, I'm in the action business and God's in the result business, you know. So, and I'm getting the results, and just by just doing the actions that's necessary and doing a little research, you know, it feels good to be doing this and to be a part of something that's like so much bigger than me, you know. You know, I feel like at a certain point, you know, it's about giving back, you know, and that's what I want to do. You know, I want to let somebody know that somebody cares about them, man, that, you know, there's hope out here, you know, that they don't have to live like this forever. Like, you know, there's hope. Like, you can change if you want to change, you know. Recovery is not for people who need it, though. It's for people who want it. You know, you got to do some work to change, you know, and if you don't, then, you know, not much is going to happen. You know, maybe you'll hit bottom, like a true bottom, and like get the gift of desperation. But, you know, if you're not done, you're just not done. And that's been my experience. But I'm glad, like, I made it out alive. I've relapsed a lot in the past 3 years. But I'm glad I'm doing good. And, you know, that God's seen fit for me to live, you know. And I'm really grateful for the people in my life that support me today, my family, my friends, people I work with, you know, my girlfriend, you know, just really grateful to be alive. So, yeah, I'm going to leave it at that. I hope you guys have a great night.